Mike Harrington from the Buffalo News joins us once again. Mike, you've covered that team for a long time. Obviously, it's never been this bad. They traded Molson, Ott, and Miller at the deadline. Enroth got hurt. They're down to their four-string goaltender. They're really kind of playing out the string right now in Buffalo, aren't they?
Yeah, I think you said it perfectly. They're dominating the battle for last place here. They've lost seven in a row in regulation. If they lose tonight in regulation, it'll be the first time in the 44-year history of the franchise they've dropped eight games in a row without getting a point. And basically, you rip the guts out of the team when you trade the best pure goal scorer in Molson, the franchise goaltender in Miller, the captain in Steve Ott, and then you add all the injuries on top of it. This team just can't stay above water anymore.
Yeah, it's really not surprising that we've seen this kind of skid given the circumstances you mentioned. It's got to be trying. I know these guys make professional money and this is their job, but can't be a real happy group of campers right now.
No, they're almost, you know, there's not open anger in the dressing room. It's almost a palpable shock when you go in there. They just didn't think it would be this bad. They knew they were certainly talent deficient, but I don't think anybody expected this. And you look at the schedule, guys. I mean, if you're a Buffalo Sabre, if you do not beat the Edmonton Oilers tonight without Jordan Eberle in the lineup, where are you going to get your next win from? That's something that's a pretty scary thought when you look at their schedule coming up. You know, Vancouver, Montreal, Nashville, Tampa at home. There aren't many wins left in that schedule, and I think that's a pretty frightening prospect.
There's been some rumors that Ted Nolan has a contract extension. It hasn't been released yet. Mike, is that your understanding that he'll be back full-time behind the bench?
Yeah, they've been, Nolan told us a week ago the contract was with the lawyers. They were just dotting their I's and crossing their T's. The team's on the road 2,000 miles away. The building's taken up with the NCAA basketball tournament. They're not going to want to make a contract announcement until they can make a contract announcement and have a little fanfare. Of course, it'd be nice if they weren't on a 9 or 10 game losing streak when you were announcing the coach's contract extension. But yes, I expect Teddy Nolan to be back, get a 3-year deal. He's a good prospect coach, and we'll see what happens. But Tim Murray didn't have a whole lot of relationship with him when he came on board as the GM, and he's openly said he likes the job Teddy Nolan's done.
Yeah, they've obviously got to be on the same page. I mean, when you gut the team as has happened now, a guy like Nolan, who provided a bit of a spark when he stepped in, would be palms in the air if he wasn't on the same page, wouldn't he?
Right. And here's the other point, too. 10 to 12 of the guys you're going to see on the ice tonight for the Buffalo Sabres will not be on their team next October. They're going to have some more young players. They'll go out and tweak this lineup a little. Murray will get a couple, fringe veterans in here. There's guys in this team right now who are not NHL players, or in the case of Ville Leino, just the career is bottomed out and he doesn't belong in the league anymore. It's going to be a different team. It's going to be a younger team. They're going to be probably poor again next year. They want to get top pick in 2015, but at least they're going to try to move this thing forward here.
Mike, interesting you mentioned that. Now, I don't know if the organization's ever saying it, but that's kind of the sense you get, that they feel they're going to have to be bad for a few years and maybe get in on McDavid?
Well, they never said it, but I've openly said it and written it, that this was an open tank. This was a tank right from the start of the year under Darcy Regier. They became the first team in 18 years to have four teenagers in their lineup for a single game, and they did it for about 15 games.
Yeah.
And they had an overmatched AHL coach. This was an open tank. They want to get in on McDavid. Obviously, the concern now about the rumblings, maybe the lottery system will change. The league can't be happy when Darcy Regier came out in April and said it's going to require some suffering. They basically sent the message they were going in the tank in April. Not good for the league. Not a good visual, but that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to build through the Chicago, Pittsburgh model, and to some degree the Edmonton model, but the Edmonton model is a cautionary tale. It doesn't automatically mean you win if you get a lot of top picks.
You can ask Oilers fans. They've yet to see any sort of even consistent playoff performances, even being in the playoff race. Realistically, you look at Buffalo and look at this year's draft, Mike. They have a lot of young defensemen. There's a lot of people that think Ekblad is the best player. Buffalo is definitely going to have the best opportunity to win the lottery with a 25% chance. If they do, do you see them taking Ekblad regardless of all the other young defensemen they have in the organization, or will they go with a center?
The only way they take Ekblad is if they make a lot of moves. Trade some guys, get a couple NHL level forwards in here. Otherwise, I mean, the fan base would just be bemused and shocked and befuddled and everything else. They took Ekblad, and I know people love him, but if they don't take Sam Reinhardt or Sam Bennett, people are going to be shocked. They need a scoring forward. They need a center. They don't have a real number one center. That's what they need. They are going to be the lowest scoring team, guys, potentially, in the NHL in the expansion era this year. And then they're going to go out and have the number one pick and draft a defenseman. That would not fly in anybody's mind at this point.
How is the appetite with the fans for what could be a protracted rebuild? The official rebuild in Edmonton, if you want to call it that, this is season four. The team is heading for its eighth straight year out of the playoffs. No sniff, none, since the Cup final. How's the appetite for two or three or four years of rebuilding in Buffalo?
I don't know. I think that's a big question. I think people are okay with this year and next year. I think if they're not starting to show some tangible big-time improvement by the 15-16 season, you know, people are really going to get upset, because you talk about Edmonton not having a sniff since 06. The Sabres haven't won a playoff series since 07 and have only been in it twice since then. So there's a pretty long dry spell already with Buffalo with the fans, and they have 16,000 season ticket holders and they have waiting lists. So, you know, people understandably are a little demanding on things, and they get what's going on. It's a pretty knowledgeable fan base, but I don't think they're going to be patient for a 3-4-5-6 year process. I think once you get past about year two, they're going to want to start seeing some results.
Mike, do you think Enroth can be an everyday starter?
No. I think he is a good 30 to 35 game guy. I think the starting goaltender of the future probably isn't in their organization yet, or maybe they'll try to transform, you know, Nathan Lewin, their prospect, or Matt Hackett tonight getting his first start. We'll see if they re-sign Neuvirth. But no, I don't think Enroth is a 55 to 60 game a year goaltender at all.
That's interesting. So essentially, you've got a potential hole in goal, at least nothing proven. You got forwards who can't put it in the ocean off the pier. This could be longer than 2 years, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely, it could be. I mean, I think they're really going to be pretty set on defense. You know, they're really high on, you know, Mark Pesek, the guy you guys know very well from the Oil Kings, has already looked good in the NHL. They got Ristolainen, the golden goal from the World Juniors, and Nikita Zadorov. And they're pretty set in defense. But, yep. Yeah, I think they're in real trouble here unless they figure out a way to get some guys who can score, because, you know, again, I think the fan base has given them about the next 2 years, and after that the heat is really going to be on, and it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough to, you know, get in. Now, at least they're in the East. They're not in the West. So maybe you can make a tangible difference more quickly in the East. But, yeah, I think the fan base, the pressure from the fan base is going to be a key thing to watch here.
Mike, what about Darcy Regier? What pressure from ownership? Do you think he's feeling any, or is he pretty secure?
Well, I mean, the fan base basically got Darcy Regier fired.
Yeah.
You know, when they started chanting, "Fire Darcy," that was the end of Darcy when they got rid of him in November. You know, his tanking plan was more a way to preserve his own job. You know, they brought Tim Murray in, and I think people think Tim Murray has a good handle on young talent. He's not around the team much because he's scouting young players for the draft, which is what people want to hear right now. So he's got the grace period. He did a good job at the trade deadline. People are interested to see what he can do with the draft and in the summer, and then they'll go from there.
What about all the rumors on their back end involving Ehrhoff and Myers? They've got a lot of good young defensemen. Do you think they would be willing to trade one of those two guys this offseason? Or do you think they want to stay, like you said, the course, and maybe struggle for one more year before they move those guys out?
The trading Myers that came up a lot of the trade deadline was just internet message board garbage.
Okay.
They weren't trading Myers at all. I mean, they were listening to anybody who wanted to call. They weren't shopping Myers. Ehrhoff might be a little different story because he's a little older. It's a good cap hit. It's only $4 million a year. The problem is it's a long-term deal. The Sabres could look at a $10 million hit on cap recapture. So Tim Murray even said, we need to get a lot back to compensate for the potential recapture penalty if Ehrhoff retires before that deal expires. So I think they will, at the draft, going into the draft, revisit Ehrhoff, because there will be teams interested in him, but it just depends what the return is to help the Sabres out on the back end.
Well, I think when you watch the game tonight, with the way you know the Sabres, if you could take Edmonton's forwards, and Buffalo's defense, you wouldn't have a 29th and 30th place team.
Absolutely not. You would have a good team, and you know how about a goaltending tandem of, you know, Scrivens and Enros? And you're right. I mean, the problem is Buffalo looks at Edmonton's forward and says, we need to get to that point.
Yeah.
And Edmonton's probably looking at Buffalo's defense
exactly.
depth chart going, we need to get to that point.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's where a lot of people have speculated. And those two teams, actually, they could make a trade today. Because you can make trades right now, you just can't have the guys play in the playoffs, and neither one of them are going to the playoffs. But I know a lot of teams have speculated about that, looking for a forward. If you looked at the fours right now in Buffalo, is it center position, Mike? Is it right or left wing? Is there one glaring weakness they have amongst the forwards?
They don't have a number one center. They barely have a number two center. Tyler
okay.
Ennis is a number two center. Regier foolishly gave Cody Hotson a six-year contract, and he's basically disappeared and is the number two or three center at best. So they need to find elite centers. And you guys know it too. Most of the time you don't trade for those. You draft elite centers, and that's what they're going to have to do.
Mike, enjoy it. I can tell you right now it can be tough in a death march like that, but your city will be excited, at least if they get the number one overall pick. At least the fan base will have something to look forward to.
Absolutely. There's no shortage of good stories, too. I'd rather almost be doing this in the heroic fight to get to eighth place.